Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you today as we come together, as the congregation, as the holy set apart ones, to fellowship together in the Word and in worship and to be led by your Spirit. Father, I thank you that we have the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. We thank you, Father, that the eyes of our understanding are enlightened, and we know the hope of your calling and the glorious inheritance that you have prepared for us. Now, Father, I ask that you would use my tongue as the pen of the ready writer, speaking forth the oracles of God onto the hearts of men. In Jesus' name, amen. You say, well, where does he come up with those prayers? Well, they're in the Bible. I'd rather pray a prayer straight out of the Bible than any place else. Last week, we started talking about vessels. Vessels. Vessels of honor. Vessels of dishonor, how we make ourselves those vessels. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20 through 22. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, what's the therefore? One of my favorite teachers said, when you see a therefore, find out what it's there for. Right? Therefore. What's the therefore? It's because there's honor, vessels of honor and dishonor in a house. Vessels of gold and silver, right? Some for honor, some for dishonor. Therefore, speaking of vessels, both of honor and dishonor, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, what is the latter? That is dishonor. So anybody is anybody, right? If anyone, anyone, Faith's in anyone, Diane's in anyone, my dad's in anyone. Anyone. If anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor. Who makes you a vessel of honor? You do. You cleanse ourselves from worldly things. Right there. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord of a pure heart. Avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. Well, I've been in some of those. It's easy. There's this guy named J.P. Sears. Anybody ever see the videos, the YouTube videos by J.P. Sears? He does this video on how to be easily offended. He said, you know, you've got to really make it come from in here. And he dresses, he's got this, he does the little man bun and, you know, wrap bandana around his head and, you know, comes off as a really, you know, like, you know, a Southern California, too much fun in the sun, you know, possibly, you know, stoned. Kind of guy. He's really kind of funny. You know, he does this, you know, it's easy to be offended. I have found, he says, I get more things my way by being offended than I ever did before. Because people just don't want to argue with me because I'm offended. Really? You know, that's just a side note. But listen, who makes us vessels of honor?
We do.
We do, according to Scripture. Now listen, this isn't about being saved. You can't earn your salvation. But you can be a vessel of honor or dishonor for use in the master's house. Now, I personally would rather be a vessel of honor. Fleeing also youthful lusts and putting aside all those things that cause us to be vessels of dishonor. It's my choice. You know, growing up, people would say, well, you know, the Lord's just going to do whatever the Lord's going to do with you. And, you know, que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. Well, you know, it's just all in God's hands. Well, no. It's all in your hands. It's all in my hands. He's given us everything we need for life and godliness through Christ Jesus. You can write that down, look up your scripture reference for it later. He has given us all things we need whatsoever for life and godliness through Christ Jesus. With those tools, we have the ability to become vessels of honor. I don't have to just sit around and just succumb to everything that pops into my head and say, well, that's just what God intended for me. No, it's not. Remember 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down thoughts and imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. It's up to us. We do it. We make ourselves vessels of honor. You know, God didn't just look down at Benny Hinn and say, well, I'm going to use you for signs, wonders, healings, and miracles, and you just have no call in it. You have no decision-making in it. That's just what you're going to do. And then just forced him on the road and made it happen. Well, if God's going to do that, that means he can force you to get saved. It means he can force your neighbor to get saved. Well, he can't do that. God has given us free will. And it's up to us to make ourselves the kind of people that God wants us to be imitators of him as dearly loved children. Paul even said, he said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. In Ephesians, he says, imitate God as dearly loved children. Your heavenly Father, imitate him. Imitate him. You know, Josiah comes up here when I'm up here and he wants to walk with me and he wants to pretend like he's preaching. What is he doing? He's imitating. He's imitating the behavior he sees. We're to look at Jesus and imitate his behavior. He told his disciples, one of them said, well, when were you going to show us the Father? And he said, you know, I have not been with you so long that you haven't seen him already. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. What did Jesus do? He went around healing all who were afflicted and oppressed of the devil. Right? Was he just in church on Sunday? No, he didn't even go to church on Sunday. He went to synagogue on Saturday, because that's the seventh day. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if for us to be vessels of honor is going to take work on our part. Work. Work. But I work really hard, you know, 5-6 days a week, and I'm just, you know, I'm tired, and I haven't had a vacation in months. You know, It's been 3 years since I've been to Disneyland. You have to work? Yeah, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's scripture. I didn't make it up. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. What is salvation? It's the Greek word sozo or soteria. It involves healing and health and wholeness, every aspect of your life. So we're to work out our own salvation. We're to make ourselves vessels of honor fit for the master's use. I want to be fit for the master's use. I want to be one of those people, when I shed off this old body and I see him and he says, welcome into thy rest, good and faithful servant. Come on. I don't want to come in. I mean, there's going to be some that come in smelling like smoke. You know, because the wood and hay and chaff all have to be burned off. All those personal opinions and personal thoughts and personal ideas. And all my feelings. Well, I just feel so good when I do that. Well, no. If it's contrary to the Word of God, don't do it. But it just doesn't feel right. I had this one guy come up to me. This is the honest to God truth. We had just graduated from Rhema. And he comes up to me and he says, I went through Rhema too. And I said, oh, you did what year? And he said, well, I did the correspondence. I said, oh, that's awesome. And he says, yeah, I just really feel called to pulpit ministry. And I said, that's great. What are you doing in church now? Well, nothing. I'm just waiting for pastor to realize that I'm supposed to be preaching in the pulpit. Huh? Do you know how many toilets I've cleaned? Do you know how many times I've vacuumed chairs and under chairs and cleaned up and put away and run errands? Come on, I've served in every aspect and every capacity in the church, except children's pastor. But you know, I did 5 years of being a stay-at-home parent, so maybe that pays off too. And I said, well, you really ought to be involved in church and doing other stuff like that. He says, well, I just don't feel led to. I said, you need to find a pencil, feel the lead, and do something. Because God's not going to bless you just sitting there in a pew, waiting for someone to recognize how anointed you are. Come on! Hey, listen, you know, when I first got saved, I thought, man, everything is just, it's wonderful. I'd go outside and everything looked beautiful and I'd get out there and I'd smoke my cigarette, pray in tongues. Yeah. Outside. I was just saved. I was just I'd just come back to the Lord, baptized fresh and new in the Holy Spirit. I didn't know any better. I thought, this is wonderful. I can't wait to be used by God. Then I went off to Teen Challenge. God supernaturally delivered me from cigarettes. Yeah. Why? Because I was obedient. My parents said, you want to come back with us, you're going to go to the Teen Challenge first. There was a regulation, a requirement, an obedience factor. I was obedient. God helped. I was on the road to becoming a vessel of honor. Every single one of us. There's things, man, I'm telling you, things pop into your head. No, that's not who I am. I don't do that kind of thing. That's contrary to Scripture. That goes against the Word of God. I'm not going to do that. People say, well, we're not under the Ten Commandments. Well, you know what? The Ten Commandments is a really good place to start in knowing what to do and what not to do. You know what I'm saying? Don't covet. Hey, that's a big one. It's easy to covet. You know, on Facebook, everybody's posting these things. You know, if you post this, you could win this RV trailer. No, you're not. You're not going to do it. But what that shows me is that you're coveting that thing. You think, I'm going to get that for free. No, you're not. You're not going to get the diamond ring from the jewelry store. You're not going to get the Winnebago. It's not going to happen. Listen, I've tried some of those things. You know, I did that Publisher's Clearinghouse for years thinking, man, if I just do it this many times a day and blah, 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 I'm going to win all that money. After several years of doing it, I thought, I wonder if anybody actually even wins this. You know what I'm saying? I cleansed myself from it. There's things we cleanse ourselves from. You know, somebody says, well, how do you tell the difference between what's good and what's bad? Well, some things, I mean, it's clear in the Bible. If it says it's bad, it's bad. If it says it's good, it's good. If God says it's an abomination, it's an abomination. He didn't change his mind just because of grace. Grace doesn't make those things go away. It gives you the ability to put them aside so you can make yourself a vessel of honor, fit for the master's use. Grace is his ability, it's his strength, it's his power to help you become who he's called you to be. Amen? Well, we're just way off here. Let's get back on. Ephesians 4:30, let's look at that. Well, we're not way off. We're not really off at all. Ephesians 4, well, let's start in verse 29. Oh, let's start in verse 25. Ephesians 4:25. Therefore, what's the therefore, therefore? Verse 24 says, put on the new man, which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, put on the new man, created in righteousness and holiness. How? Putting away lying. Well, that's a Ten Commandment. Don't lie, right? So Paul's quoting one of the Ten Commandments right there, isn't he? Let each one speak the truth with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. So it's okay to get mad, but don't sin and you're doing it. You know, sin could be killing somebody. It could be speaking harsh words. You know what I'm saying? Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. So you're married, you're angry at your spouse. Do not go to bed mad. Can I tell you what happens when you do? You have spiteful dreams about your spouse, and then you wake up mad at them still. Where's Kathy? Because she can attest to that, because I do that sometimes. Listen, I didn't say I'm perfect, but I said I'm working at being a vessel of honor, right? Nor give place to the devil. How do you give place to the devil? When you disobey. When you stay angry, when you let the sun go down on your wrath, right? When you lie, you give him place. Let him who stole steal no more. When you steal, you give place to the devil. Do not steal is one of the Ten Commandments, isn't it? Does it sound like Paul is still teaching Ten Commandments? Oh, yeah. Let him who stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who is in need. Verse 29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, which is the building up or strengthening, that it may impart grace When you speak kind words to someone, you help them. You're encouraging them. Grace is help. It's encouragement. Hey, listen, I know you guys are going through it. I know, man. But I just know that God is here and he is willing and able. And I am here and I'm going to help you in any way I can. Don't you let this get you down. Right? Does that edify? Yes, it does, doesn't it? And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. It grieves the Holy Spirit when we do those things that we know we shouldn't. It grieves him. Can the Holy Spirit work in you? Can he work in me if I'm bitter and speaking evil of other people? Can he work in me if I'm angry and filled with malice and I'm stealing or I'm lying to parents, lying to friends? Lying is always intended to make you look better than you are. You can lie and say, oh yeah, no, we did that a long time ago. It was really great. No, you didn't. If you didn't do it, don't say you did. If you did it, don't say you didn't. Yeah, I did that, man. Boy, I sure learned a lesson from that. You know what I'm saying? Be honest. God knows the truth. You're not hiding anything from him. I can't hide anything from him. The psalmist said, if I should descend into the deepest pits of Sheol, behold, you are there. If I ascend into the highest heavens, behold, you are there. Where can you go from an omnipresent God? Nowhere. If God says life is precious, don't do anything that snuffs out life. Jesus said, I have come to give life, and that more abundant.
Amen.
Anything that steals life is not from God. Anything. Stealing from someone robs them of part of their livelihood. Abortion steals life. God is a life-giving God. All life is precious to him, except maybe for the spiders. No, they have a purpose. Ezekiel 36:27. You can turn there if you want. Ezekiel 36:27 says, God is promising that he's going to put his spirit in man. And his spirit is going to help man fulfill the plans that God has for him. His spirit is going to help man to obey his statutes. Has that changed? Ezekiel 37, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. What are God's statutes and judgments? His commandments. His purposes for you. His plans. If he says, honor the Lord your God, you better honor the Lord your God. If he says, don't lie, don't lie. He says, don't covet, don't covet. Not to harp on this, but which of the Ten Commandments would you break if you could? I mean, if the Ten Commandments have been put aside and they're no longer valid to us because of grace, if somebody just really irks me and I don't like them, I can run their car off the road and they die. No. God put his spirit in us so that we can do what he told us to do. So if he's told you, don't talk bad about somebody, and you do it, then you're doing like James. He said, to sin is to do the good, is to not do the good you ought to do. You know the good you ought to do. This is about becoming vessels of honor. Listen, Paul, big dissertation here in Ephesians chapter 4. All kinds of things about what to say and what not to say. How to act and how not to act. They come straight up out of the Ten Commandments. Listen, I'm not harping on works. What I'm harping on is being a vessel of honor. 1 Corinthians 6:19. I want to be a vessel of honor. And I always just assume everybody else wants to too. Now let's start in verse 14. And God hath raised up both the Lord and will raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? So if your body is a member of Christ, the Messiah, can we just do whatever we want and it's just okay?
No.
No. We're vessels of dishonor if we do that. We bring dishonor to the body of Christ when we do things we know we shouldn't do. And we make excuses for it. Let's not make excuses. Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Come on, it's right there. Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. In the new birth, when we accept him as our Savior, we become one body with him. We become one spirit with him. If we join ourselves to things that are contrary to him, we make the body of Christ a harlot to those things. We bring dishonor to it. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he commits sexual sin, sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? And you are not your own, for you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Come on! I have the complete capacity and ability to flee the things of the flesh and live wholly unto God. My body belongs to him. My spirit belongs to him. I am a spirit. I have a soul, and I live in a body. One day, this body's going to get shed off, and I'm going to get a new one, a glorified one. And I'll be with him forever. In the meantime, I have responsibility. I have responsibility to God to live the way he wants me to. I belong to him. I got saved. That doesn't mean now I'm saved, I can just live any way I want to. I got fire insurance. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? The temple was the place in ancient Israel where God's Spirit dwelt. The high priest could go in and he could commune. Moses went into the temple and he fellowshipped with God. And he went up to the mountain. And he fellowshipped with God. And he would spend time with God. And his face would be so glorious that it would shine. His face literally shined with the presence of God. They weren't even born again. They weren't even born again. If Moses' face could shine with the glory and presence of God by spending time with him, imagine what our lives could be like. If we would spend time with him, if we would spend time making ourselves to be vessels of honor, putting off childish things, putting off the things of the flesh, putting off the world and living for him, we could be so much greater. Imagine a church filled with the presence of God, where everybody is spending time with him, where everybody comes together for the purpose of fellowship, for the purpose of uniting together in the one common cause of celebrating Jesus Christ. Remember when they were the early church, they were under persecution, and they were threatened with prison. So what did the church do? They went back and started making up flyers for all kinds of events that they're going to start to have to become really good name in the community. Right? No. They went back and they prayed. And the place where they prayed was shaken. Come on. The place where they prayed was shaken. The presence of God showed up. Listen, it didn't just happen on Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit came and tongues of fire rested upon each of them. They would get together and they would pray. And they said, Lord, you've heard their threats against us. Help us to hide so we don't get hurt. No, help us. Give us boldness so that we might boldly proclaim Jesus Christ. They didn't run and hide. They were vessels of honor, making themselves vessels of honor. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Listen, I can cast down all those thoughts that are contrary to me living that kind of life. And I can live that kind of life. I can live the kind of life that Peter did, walking the streets of Jerusalem, and people bringing out the sick so that they could lay them in the street so that Peter's shadow would at least touch them and they could be healed. What an amazing thing. You know, take out your sick brother, your sick mother, put them in the dirt in the street and wait for Peter to walk by so they could get healed. I mean, come on, people did that. It's here. It's a matter of historical fact that they did that. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. Well, I'm going to read verse 20 and verse 27. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Verse 27. The anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. 3:6. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Ezekiel 36:27. The reason that we have the Spirit of God is so that he can teach us, so that he can lead us in the ways of God. Right? We just read that. We just saw that up there. He helps us. He causes us to walk in the statutes of God. He causes us to be obedient. Right? The Spirit of God indwelling us is referred to as the anointing. Christ, the word Christ, is the word Christos, which means anointed. Jesus is the anointed one. Christians are called the little anointed ones. We're anointed ones after him. The anointing abides in us. The Spirit of God abides in us. And he teaches us. He teaches us what to do. Listen, you know, if you were going to end up going through part of the tribulation and things got really bad, wouldn't you need to know how to be led by the Spirit? I want to know how to be led by the Spirit. I want to be able to hear the voice of God speaking to me. David, you need to get up and go do this. Okay. You know, I've done that. I've been in prayer, and God says, I want you to pray for this person by this name. They have this problem. Years later, I found out, met this gal named Rosie, and she'd had a broken arm, and she was just really distraught over the whole thing. I'd been praying for her. I didn't know her at the time. But God will use us in those ways. He'll teach us. We were getting ready to go on vacation. One year, this is years ago, maybe even before Josiah came along. And we were, it doesn't matter. Anyway, we were getting ready to go, and Kathy went up to the store because she needed a couple things before we left. And she was getting ready to leave, and she said, the Spirit of God on the inside of her said, stop and spend some time with your cousin Tina, who worked at the information desk at Vaughn's. She was, what I don't know what they call it, customer service. And she says, no, I need to hurry. And she got out and she went to her car, got to the intersection, a high speed chase with a police car going through town. Kathy got hit the day before we were supposed to leave for vacation. Wrecked the car. What was she supposed to do? Go see her cousin, right? What was God trying to do? Lead her. He was trying to protect her, right? This whole process of being led by the Spirit is a day-by-day thing. It leads us into a relationship with God where we become vessels of honor, where God speaks to us and we listen, where we can sit together as a man sits with another man and speaks. That's the kind of relationship of imitating him and being like him. He knows all things. Here it says, if we abide in him, the anointing abides in us, and we'll know all things. It's good to know all things. It's good because our friend Ashley, she had gone to the store and she left her purse in the cart. And I said, did you get any inkling at all? She said, you know what? I was just so busy trying to get things done, I wasn't even aware. If we're so busy and consumed with what we're supposed to be thinking that we're supposed to be doing, how can we cleanse ourselves, be imitating him, be listening to him, be following him, becoming like him, being imitators of him, if our lives are always so busy? Now, she did get her purse back.
That's good.
The cash was gone. But you know what? It's a learning lesson. When Kathy was pregnant with our first baby, she kept feeling like God was telling her, you need to spend more time with me. You need to spend more time with me. You need to spend more time with me. What would he have taught her? Maybe she needed to do something else. We lost that baby. It's not Kathy's fault. God was trying to speak to her. You need to get closer to me. You need to get closer to me. Driving. God says you're going to have a son, name him Josiah. I'm telling you, you know what? God just speaks to us. I was getting ready to come out here this morning, and God says there's going to be some issues with confusion and other things this morning. God, I want you to go ahead, and I want you to blow your shofar. So in my office, I blew my shofar a few times. Okay? We still had the little issues with confusion, right? But we get past it. Come on. God's working with us. He wants to help us. He wants to help us become better. He wants to help us to become vessels of honor. People who are walking in the fullness of God. People who are walking in the complete relationship that he has for us, instead of a casual relationship. Most of us just have casual relationships. Facebook doesn't help. Can I just say that? I love Facebook, but it doesn't help. It doesn't build any lasting relationships. I get on, birthday notifications come up. You know what I do? I like to see, do I even know this person? What kind of, they have a little thing where you can cue it and see, you know, what kind of relationship you have with this person. And it show you back how many years you've been friends with them. And, you know, they've never wished you happy birthday. You've never even wished them happy birthday. Well, what's the point of being friends? Just for numbers? God doesn't want that kind of casual relationship with us. He doesn't want wood, hay, and stubble to be burned off of us as we enter into eternity. He wants us to present ourselves as vessels of honor. Vessels of honor. You know, at Christmas time or special occasions, you have maybe your favorite crystal platter or your favorite beverage decanter that you bring out, and you've got company coming over, so we're going to bring these things. Those are your vessels of honor. Those are the ones that you say, these are the ones I use when I have company. We might use paper and plastic plates when it's just the two of us, but when we have company, we bring out this really nice stuff. We bring out the Mikasa. We bring out the really good water goblets. Right? Well, that's how God sees us. Come on, this is my special vessel right here. Man, I'm telling you what, she has just honored me. She has worked harder at being responsive to me when I speak to her. This is, you know, then that she, God takes that person and he elevates them. Why? Because they're making themselves a vessel of honor. You know, Kim Walker Smith didn't just wake up one morning Kim Walker Smith. Right? No, she had to start somewhere, didn't she? She had to start being obedient. She had to start with music lessons and vocalizations. And she had to spend time with Jesus. She had to spend some time with him to be able to get into a place where that she can lead people into worship the way that she does, right? Come on, I'll go back to Catherine Kuhlman. Most of you don't know who Catherine Kuhlman is because you're way too young. She said, and she said this often, concerning Jesus, concerning the Holy Spirit, he's more real to me than you are. He's more real to me than you are. How can that be? You're sitting right here in front of me. Because you can have a relationship with him, talking to him, having interchangeable communication with him, where it's like in the garden, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, no one could ever know. God wants to come to us just the way he did with Adam and Eve in the garden. And he wants to fellowship with us. And he wants to talk with us. He can't talk with us if our lives are filled with wood, hay, and stubble. Someone would say, well, I just never feel very close to God. Well, I guarantee you it's not his fault. You want more of him, give him more of you. We have to make ourselves available to him. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. We have to make sure that we have cleansed ourselves, that we're walking in the way that he wants us to walk. You want to have more intimate relationship with him. Spouses want to have more intimate relationship, and that doesn't always mean coitus, okay? That's not the ultimate intimate relationship. The ultimate intimate relationship is sharing your heart with someone, making yourself a servant to them. Come on, Jesus, in the most ultimate of intimate relationships with his disciples, washed their feet. He made himself a servant to them. He was the ultimate vessel of honor, wasn't he? Come on. The ultimate vessel of honor. Every single one of us can become an ultimate vessel of honor. The Spirit of God lives in you. Whether you speak in tongues or not, he lives in you. You've been sealed with the Spirit of God. It's better to be full, to overflowing. It's better. I got to tell you, there's a great additional experience in having the fullness of God overflowing with the evidence of tongues, prophecy, tongues and interpretations. Man, I've been there. I've done, listen, short of sticking a needle in my arm because I don't like any kind of pain, I've done it. There's nothing that the world's got out there that's any better, even comes close, even remotely compared to being full to overflow with the Holy Ghost. Nothing. Nothing. No thing. Amen? Amen? Heavenly Father. Father, I love you. And I thank you for your word today. I thank you for your Spirit. For your Spirit abides in us. And we can walk with you. And we can be part together with you. We can be We can be echad. We can be joined together in purpose and in function and in life. And I ask, Father, right now that you would speak to every person here. I would ask, Father, that you would help them to have a more open relationship with you, to make themselves vessels of honor, ready and available, pliable, like clay in the hand of a potter, so that you can help form them the way that you see them. And I just bless each and every person here today, Father. I ask that you would just overflow their lives with good things. I thank you, Father, for making us the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. Help us to live and walk in that kind of relationship with you. I thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I know sometimes it gets hard, huh, to hear things maybe we don't want to hear. That's part of being a parent, though, with children. You got to tell them things they don't want to hear, don't you? Yeah. Never thought I'd have that problem. Faith, put down the book. You have other things to do. But God is our Father. And he knows what's best for us. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. You're dismissed.